Good morning. Again, greet you in the precious name of Jesus. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn again to John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. We're going to again read the scripture we had two messages ago that I didn't complete. We're going to be talking this morning about the vine. I have a vine here this morning. We're going to focus on this vine a little bit. This is a grapevine. And as we go through this scripture, hopefully we can get some ideas of what Jesus wants to do in our lives as in relation to what the one who takes care of the vine out in the vineyard does with the vine. So I'm going to ask you this morning if you would stand. With your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. I'm going to read some verses here. I'd like to read this morning verse 1 through 10. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, I'm sorry, let's start over. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We'll read verse 11 and 2 here. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You may be seated. I've titled my message this morning, The Joy of Connection. Are we dead? How's that? Doing any better? The joy of connection. Exactly what we need it for right now. The joy of connection. We're happy when we're connected to the internet, right? We come to a place where maybe there's no internet been before, and all of a sudden, you as missionaries know about this, all of a sudden you come into a coffee shop or something where there's a connection. You can relate. You can talk to people. I like this connection here. I can talk and you can hear me. Connection. The joy of connection. We have this vine here this morning. There's a joy in this vine. I'm going to use it in that way. In being connected. I'm sorry, a branch. Being connected to the vine. As Christians, we're joyful. Because we are connected. We're the branches. We're connected to the vine. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. We're going to go to verse 2 here, and I'm going to backtrack just a bit. We're going to go where we were last time. For those of you who maybe weren't here, and maybe just to, again, give us a little bit of a refresher. Verse 2, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. We talked about being the taketh away, being lifted up. Something I didn't share last time, but this word taketh away, being lifted up, is a little bit like it's in used in the same context as when, I think it was Simon carried the cross, he lifted it up. It's also the same context used in the same way as when the disciples, Jesus fed the 5,000. At the end of this, the disciples went and they picked up 12 baskets full. They lifted them up. The lifting up that he's talking about here is for a vine that is on the ground, a vine that is connected but it's on the ground. It has become dirty. That is repentance. It's not the new birth. I want us to understand, this is not the new birth, but this is repentance. Sometimes, in our walk with Christ, we become dirty. We get some sin in our life. And Jesus comes to us and He lifts us up. He brings us back up and He takes that water and He washes us. We repent. And we are made clean. I want us to look a little bit at what the good fruit is. I read this last time. I'm going to just quickly read through a few verses here in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. I'm sorry, we're going to go to verse 22. Those are the negative ones. I want the positive ones this morning, the good fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They are Christ that crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He talks next. He uses the word here, purgeth. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Okay, so I understand when I sin, Jesus comes in and He reminds me and there's discipline and there's repentance. Jesus reminds me of the sin and so there's discipline. He brings discipline into our lives so we repent, so we stay in connection with Him. But what about this purging thing? He says, every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. Wait a minute. I am bearing fruit. There's fruit coming from my life. But Jesus comes in. We have this vine. We have the branches here. I got my little snippers here. Those of you who do gardening like snippers. I have my little snippers here. It says, He cometh in and He purgeth. What does the word purgeth mean? It means He prunes. I found it interesting as I researched a little bit this week about vines, branches on the grapevine. What do they do? In Napa Valley, there's a whole bunch of grapevines. Grape arbors, but I'm talking about the vineyards. I wanted to say orchard. That wasn't right. The grape vineyards. Once a year, they go through this vineyard. And they work. They have their grapevines in a long row, many, many rows of it. And they go in there with their little snips. And they look at the grapevines and they come up the main stem. And then there's a vine. They take these vines and they train them out on the wires. But off of those vines, there's branches like we have here. They look good to me. As I looked at that vine, I thought, why are you cutting those? They look good. They're going to produce. By the way, I want you to notice something on this vine here. You see all the little grapes on here? There's a whole bunch of grapes on this one. Why do you think that is? 2 years ago, me and my ignorance went out to our grapevine. I did a little bit of pruning, but my uncle says you need to prune them, not just cut them a little bit. I pruned. By the time I was done with the grapevine, it was pretty well bare. And it did not produce that year. It was empty. 2 years down the road, look at this. We have much fruit. There's not just a few on there. There's much fruit. I kind of hated to cut this because this is not going to produce this year. It's going to die now. But as I watch these videos of how they prune, they go in and they come up the main stem and they come to the branches that are coming off of the vine. And they picked out the good ones. They didn't take them all. But they picked out the good ones. I'm going to train this one over here. I'm going to train this one over here. This one here looks good, but it's going to go the wrong direction. Snip. Off they go. They didn't do it just like that. They watched. They were very careful. They watched where there had been some blooms. They had two buds there. I'm going to go right above that two budder and I'm going to snip it right there. And there's going to be two new branches coming out of there that are going to produce. I want us to think about this in our Christian walk this morning. He says here that because we bear fruit, even while we're bearing fruit, He prunes us. I read a story of a minister. He was minister of a church and he was leader of some big organization. And he felt God speaking to him. And he wrestled one night, late into the night. God said, I want your family. He said, God, they're mine. You've given them to me. He said, I want your family. And he wrestled with God until late into the night until finally he said, okay, God, my family is yours. What was God doing?
He was pruning, wasn't he? It doesn't mean what he prunes off is bad, because it's not. Sometimes he takes the good and he prunes it off for better. I hope we catch that this morning. It wasn't long after that that God started speaking to him again. And he said, there's something else that I want. He said, I want your ministry. He said, wait a minute, I've been in this ministry for years. We're successful. Things are going really good. So he struggled with that. There's fruit happening. God said, I want your ministry. So finally he said, okay, God, it's yours. He went back to his board or whoever it was and he said, we can't support the ministry anymore. We're done. He went home to his wife and he said, the ministry is no longer ours. But because of him being willing to let go of his ministry, God stepped in and said, I'm going to enhance your ministry now. And his ministry grew. They stayed in that ministry because he was willing to allow God to come in and take the good and make it better. I want us to catch that this morning. God does not always prune out the nasty. We are producing good grapes. But God wants better. Let me challenge you with something. You're sitting here this morning, and if you show up a year from now, and you sit in these same pews, and you're the same person, you didn't allow God to prune you. Because God is not putting us here on this earth for the sake of being mediocre. God put us here on this earth to use us. Sometimes we don't produce so much fruit. What happens with the grapes that aren't pruned? Let's back up a little bit. One of the things these men said, the man said that was pruning these grapes, he said, we cannot prune, and we can allow this grapevine just to go. Yeah, it's still going to produce some, but as the years go on, there's going to be less and less fruit. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, after a while, there's so many leaves, it looks really good. But there's so many leaves on this vine that the sun is now hidden and it can't produce. Unless we are willing to allow God to come in with His snippers and to prune out of our life what He sees is going to be a hindrance to us, we are going to be like that grapevine. We become to where we look really, really good, but we're going to be dead. We're not going to produce fruit. I shouldn't say we're going to be dead. We're not going to produce fruit. There's still some fruit there. Willingness to allow God to prune us. I'm going to back up a little bit on the papers that you have here. I missed a few things on there. Talking about chastening. When we live in continual sin, we are chastened. God does not chasten us for the fun of it. I want you to think a little bit about you dads that are here this morning. This is not something you want to do with your children. You don't take your children, you line them up every so often, it's time for spanking. You haven't had one for a while. It's just time. Is that how we do as fathers? No. But we chasten when we see our son or our daughters go a direction that we don't want them to go. Why do we chasten them? Why does God chasten us? Because we are loved by God. We are valued by God. One of the things, one of the lies that Satan likes to bring into our lives when we are chastened when we go through a difficult time is that we have no value. God really doesn't love us. Yeah, He likes us a little bit, but He really doesn't love us. We are valued by God. And He wants a beautiful relationship with us. We choose. We choose the pain of discipline or we choose the pain of regret. Discipline isn't fun. It's difficult. There are several reasons for pruning, such as to correct or repair damage, to shape, to train, to encourage flower and fruit production, to create a pleasing form, to bring roots and leaves into balance, to thin out dense growth, to let in light and air. Our Father, the Master Gardener, knows just how and when all of His branches need pruning. We don't need to question, even though we do sometimes, don't we? But He knows just exactly when we need that pruning. One of the things, one of these vine, I started to say this and I didn't finish this. One of the things the vine dresser said as he was pruning. He said, if I don't prune, if I don't continually stay on top of this year by year, and I don't let these branches get into the 1 and 2 year stage, and I don't prune what's there, he said, it will produce grapes, but he said, we're making grapes for wine. We want good wine. He said, if I don't prune, he says, the grapes will not be sweet. It will produce grapes. They'll become smaller. There'll be a harvest there. But he said, they don't have the value. They're not as sweet. So as God prunes us, can we say we get sweeter? We're going to talk about abiding here in just a little bit. God prunes us to be more like Him. I'd like to read some verses really quick here. Out of Psalm 66, verse 10, you don't have to turn to this. Psalm 66, verse 10 says, for Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but Thou broughtest out into a wealthy place. Sounds a little bit like pruning, doesn't it? Going through some difficulties, but God bringing us out to a beautiful place. The testing of our faith. James 1, we talk a little bit about testing. We've been through some of that. James 1, verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But as we mature, prunings in our life may intensify. There may be more pain. God wants us close to Him. He wants us to bear fruit. It even talks here about much fruit. Paul gives us an example in 2 Corinthians 8. He says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. If we allow God to come in and to continue to prune us, He brings us to a place of beauty in Him. So many times I'm afraid we lose that. We choose not to have that beauty in our lives because we're not willing to allow God to come in and to prune us. So we have a choice to make. When God comes and He wants to prune us, we have the choice to allow God to do what He needs to do, or we have the choice to complain and to rebel against it. I'd like to go to another section here, in verse 2 also. There's another word that He uses here. He says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I'm sorry, it's down a little further, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Unless we remain in the vine, we abide. There's something that happens right at the juncture, I guess, of where the branch connects to the vine. There's something that happens right there. There's a flowing of sap going on. Here a while back... I went out back to our little woods behind the house there. We have a wild grapevine that's growing up into a tree, and it's always in the way when we mow. And it's a pretty big vine. So I took my chainsaw back there and I snipped it. And when I walked away, or turned around, I looked and the sap started dripping. I went back there probably a week to a week and a half later, and the sap is still dripping. There's sap that flows through these grapevines. That's life. I want us to think about that as Jesus, the life that He gives us flows from the Father through Him into us. We have this life through Him. Abiding in the vine. What is it to abide in the vine? The sap flowing in the vine provides life to the branches. What is it to abide in the vine? I thought about this so much this week about abiding. And I probably came up with more questions than I have answers this morning. What really is it to abide in the vine? I've got written here, to abide is to make Jesus Christ our way of life. I've talked lots here already about our daily devotional, about reading, about spending time in prayer. Those are all good. They're needful. They're necessary. We need them in our lives. I encourage you, I advise you to set aside a time every day to read and to pray and to draw close. But there's something else that goes with abiding in the vine that I came to this week as I was thinking about this. Sometimes we hear this saying that says we're so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And I think there's a caution in that. But yet on the other hand, when I abide in the vine, when I'm connected to the Father, there's never a place where I want to be without Him. I want to stay connected all the time. So as I have my devotions, as I have my prayer time, my private time with the Father, that's a good start, but it's not the end. Throughout the day, we're going to continue to be in communion with Him. It doesn't matter what your job is, it doesn't matter what you're doing, there is time to connect with the Father throughout the day. Maybe you have a decision you need to make. Bring it to the Father. Stay connected. Hear Him. Abiding in the vine is not something that we do once a day and it carries us through the whole day. Abiding in the vine is a lifestyle. It's something that we continually do. We stay connected. It is a relationship with Jesus. What are some things that happen as we abide in the vine? And maybe you can do a check in your life. Where are you at this morning? Let's look at some of the things that happen here in John 15. Let's look at verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Are my prayers being answered? Something for us to think about. Am I abiding? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. We keep His commandments. We abide in Him. I want to read just a little saying here that Ravi Zacharias stated. I came to Him because I did not know which way to turn. I remained with Him because there is no other way I wish to turn. I came to Him longing for something I did not have. I remain with Him because I have something I will not trade. I came to Him as a stranger. I remain with Him in the most intimate of friendships. I came to Him unsure about the future. I remain with Him certain about my destiny. I came amid the thunderous cries of a culture that has 330 million deities. I remain with Him knowing that truth cannot be all-inclusive. We abide in the vine. We walk with Him every day. And I want us to look at one more verse before we close this morning. There's also a verse here in John 15 that we need to ponder on. A verse that we need to think on. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. I want you to take that into consideration this morning. If we don't abide in the vine, if we turn our back, there is a place where we are cut off. He takes us as a branch and He cuts us off and there is death. There is no more life. What happens when there's no life? He says, He is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. Friends, that's forever. I want us to think about that this morning. We have a choice today. We have a choice if we're going to be like the branches that are willing to abide and to let that sap flow through and to fill us. And our lives can be positive. Or we have the choice this morning to refuse that, to turn our backs on that connection. And our eternity is sealed forever. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Father God, this morning we bless you again. Lord, we thank you again for this scripture that talks about being connected to you. Lord, our desire is to be connected every day, all day long. Our desire, Lord, is to grow closer to you. But Father, we know there's pain involved. We just pray that you would give us the grace, Lord, the strength, the desire, Lord, to allow you to prune us, to allow you to shape us and to mold us in the way that pleases you. Father, I pray this morning for those of us here this morning that are full of zeal, desire to walk close. Would you continue to bless us? Father, there may be some of us amongst us here this morning that have not yet chosen to be connected. Maybe we've been connected, we turned our backs. Oh Lord, would you please speak to us this morning? Work in our hearts this week, Lord. Change us. Change us for your honor and for your glory. Father, we bless you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.